So the title of the sermon is Around and Around a Big Rock. And if you could bear with me, that is my own sketch of a mountain. Is it good? Okay, cool. It goes up and down, and then it might look like an elephant lying underneath a blanket. But it's not. It's a mountain. Okay. So I had difficulty to actually get into words what I was feeling and thinking. So I made a couple of sketches. So please have your grace on my artistic abilities this morning. It will be on the screen. And the photo was not mine. I did not take that photo. So just to say that not everything artistic in this slide comes from me. The good things are from external sources. So I'd like to this morning start off by reading scripture. Start off by reading a whole chapter. I think many times we just get bits and bobs of text, but I read through the passage and I was like, there's stuff that I can't just exclude. So we're going to read Philippians chapter 3 up until 4 verse 1, because that's actually part of Philippians 3. So I'm going to read it through, and may God just come and highlight things for you this morning. And then I'll summarize the chapter afterwards. Okay. So let's pray before I start reading. Father God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this immense privilege that we have to be gathered together around your word, around your person, Jesus. Now praying this morning that you would come and speak to us through the words of scripture, God, and also through me, if it be possible, Father God, let your word come through this morning, God. I pray that you'd come and highlight to each person what they need to think about, pray about, act upon, Father God, in this morning. And even if it's something completely unrelated to the topic that comes from this passage or somewhere else, God, please let us stay with what you're bringing into our hearts this morning. We pray that in the mighty name of Jesus Christ alone. Amen. So Philippians 3 verse 1. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me, and it is safe for you. Look out for the dogs, look out for the evildoers, look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision, who worship by the Spirit of God and glory of Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things. I count them as rubbish, in order that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. This righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of you who are mature think this way. And if any one of you think otherwise, God will reveal that to you also. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of you, whom I have often told you, now I tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their bellies, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven. And from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. Let me just read that last. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. So now you're saying, okay, that was a long piece of scripture. So what is it actually saying? So I've tried to reduce it, and from there tried to reduce it again, just to get it as compact as possible. So let's just look at some of the elements in the text. You can go to the next slide. He starts off by saying something bold. Look out for dogs, people that are around you that are actually a threat to you. Believers, do not boast in the flesh, but worship by God's Spirit. Paul's fleshly boast list he puts up there. And then he says, if anyone could boast, I can boast. I got all the boxes ticked to be someone that could be considered as perfect according to the law. And then he says it's absolute rubbish, all of that. That which he clung to, that which was his way of hanging on to God, his way of doing what he was supposed to do, everything he counts as rubbish. He says, as to zeal, I was a persecutor of the church. I was so convicted about my own beliefs that I was willing to persecute other people because I think I'm right. And I was doing the right things. And I was pleasing God. And then he says, all of that, absolute rubbish. He says, rather gain Christ. If you drop those things, you actually have your hands free to grab a hold of Jesus. And then he has this verse 13, saying that in essence, leave behind everything that holds you back and strive to the upward call of God. He says that I leave everything behind me. All these achievements, these certificates, these trophies, I leave it behind. I'm just following Christ now. And that's the script, that text this morning is actually the call for me. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on towards the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He just wants to get to God. He's willing to leave everything else. Then he goes on to say something about imitate those who are living by Paul's example or his disciples' example. So he says you can actually live in a certain way and we've modeled that to you. Keep on doing that, the model that you have seen. Some may walk as the enemies of the cross. And he says, with tears in my eyes, I'm saying this, people are walking as enemies of the cross who we thought earlier were part of us. We thought they were with us in this journey, but they aren't. Then he says, interesting, they are focused on earthly things, but believers are citizens of heaven. It's almost as if you have an ID document that does not say you were born in South Africa and you live in South Africa. Your citizenship is in heaven. So you're not, we almost have to make that mind shift that we are South like heavenly citizens with South African passports rather than being South Africans having heavenly passports. And then he goes on to say something at the end that Jesus will transform our lowly bodies. In the end, the ultimate transformation comes from Christ. He's the one that's ultimately gonna get us where we need to be. And then this last line, verse 1 of chapter 4, therefore stand firm. So let me just summarize that. If you could put up the next one. Stand firm because Jesus will transform those who imitate his people and count the old gains as rubbish by leaving it behind and gaining the upward call to God himself. If I could summarize Philippians chapter 3, I'd say it comes down to this. There's this, therefore stand firm at the end. So now you have to look back like, why stand firm? Because Jesus will transform those who imitate his people count their old gains as rubbish, leaving it behind and gaining the upward call to God himself. If you can summarize Philippians chapter 3, it could sound something like this. Now, what was pressed on my heart earlier, something that ties in with what Alistair's been preaching about revival, about being revived. And then something of this leaving behind and dropping it and going forward. So something about the revival, now I speak about that first. These pictures of these purple flowers are there for a purpose. They're called African daisies. And there are different kinds of them, different subspecies. But the beautiful thing about them is they are found here in South Africa, especially on the West Coast. And it's beautiful when they start blossoming in springtime. I don't know if some of you have been in the West Coast in springtime. It's beautiful just having these daisies everywhere. I mean, in the road reserve next to the road, I mean, there where no one sows seeds, there they grow. And the beautiful thing about these flowers are that they can close up and open up again. So the petals can close up and open up. Most flowers only open up. And then they stay open until they wither and die. But these ones open up. And you can see how they look throughout the daytime, and at nighttime, they close. And just this thing of the flower opening up and closing reminded me something about what we as Christians are like sometimes. That we can open up, but sometimes we close. And then we prefer it that way. And we prefer it to stay closed for a while. I'll just hang around here around myself for a while. I'd rather stay like this. It's a bit better for me now. But there's the possibility of open up. And the thing that makes these flowers to open up is the sun and the heat of the sun. They don't have alarm clocks and timers that tell them, it's time to wake up. It's time to start blossoming. As the sun comes up and they get heated by the sun, they open up. All of them open up on such a beautiful day. I'll get back to those flowers. So the next image is my beautiful mountain. If we can have a look at the beautiful mountain. There we go. So on this one, me and Neil, we're going to have a partnership going because he's going to tell the story through the slides. And I'll do it from the side. So the whole thing about mountains in the Old Testament, it's massive. There's so many encounters that God has with people on mountaintops, at the foot of the mountain. People staying with mountains. The mountains are seen as a kind of a fortress in the Old Testament as well. If you have your city on a mountain, you are very safe. Because whenever there's attack, you have the high ground advantage to protect your city. So it's really a significant natural occurrence to have mountains. And then there's the story, you can go to the next one, the story in the Old Testament where God meets Moses on the mountain. And he's there for 40 days and it's just thunder and lightning, and you almost get the sense that it's a volcano erupting. I don't know if it was that, but it sounds like that in Exodus 19. It's this massive mountain shaking, and somewhere on the mountain is Moses, and somewhere at the bottom are the people of God, and they're absolutely terrified. And they say, well, I don't even want to come close. They said that rather let God speak to Moses. We want to stay behind here on the ground. Let God speak to Moses. We don't want to engage with God even. In a sense, creating distance. They're feeling a bit threatened. And then there's this massive thing that happens there where God gives the law to the people through Moses. And it's an amazing moment that they could reflect back on for centuries. I mean, we're still telling the story now, today, many thousands of years later. And there's this thing of God meeting people at mountains. And some people speak about people actually having mountaintop experiences where you really feel like it's only you and God. You're on top of the world, you're meeting with God, and you're really engaged with him. You can go to the next slide. You can see there at the bottom, there's my little drawing of a man. Somewhere close to this mountain, discovering but there's something happening. There's an act of God somewhere, and I think I want to get closer. I think, want to see what's going on. You could go to the next one. And there's actually some other people there as well. You find out many times there where the presence of God is and where people's lives are being transformed, there's a high likelihood that there's other people as well. Because God changes people's lives through community. He changes my life through someone else. Sometimes he intervenes directly, speaks to me directly, convicts me directly. And other times he uses people around me. And if I run outside of the church, I run outside of community, I run outside of a place where God can easily speak to me. In my family, I can't run away from my people. So all my chacha comes out there. when my buttons gets pushed, it's there where the bad stuff come out. I can't get away from that. On a bit larger scale, that happens in the church as well. If you're part of the church, you're part of the community, at some point, maybe you get kraparach with the people around you. But God is there, in the midst, speaking to more than one person, just impart into your life, not just the pastor. And then, on the next one, it could be that there's a massive group of people together. Almost like in the Old Testament where people were engaging with God, they were receiving the law from God, they were really close to Him. And many of us, we find ourselves, we come to salvation, we start belonging in a community, we sit there, and then things are really going well. Especially people who get saved from the first time, getting awakened to the love of God in their lives. It's as if things are happening every day or every minute of the day. Their lives are being transformed. You feel as if you are so close to God that He's speaking into your ear every moment of the day. I had that kind of experience even after, you know, surrendering my life to Christ when I was young. I had that kind of experience when coming into this community of this church about 7 years ago. I had this massive longing for discipleship. I said to my previous church where I was, like, this is my main need. I spoke to the pastors directly. I was part of their weekly meeting of leadership. I told them, my biggest need within this church is to be discipled. Won't you guys please disciple me? Nothing happened. They're kind of like, oh yeah, we hear what you're saying. And I was there. I saw them on a weekly basis. They could have said, let's meet a half an hour before meeting and let's just chat and get this process going. It never happened. When I got here, it was like, okay, you want to get discipled? Let's do it. And my life really started changing in that time. And I think the infilling of the Holy Spirit was also a massive thing in that time for me. Because I'd longed for it, never got it. And when I got it, I just realized, well, I'm awake to Christ now. I'm a lot more awake to Christ than I used to be. But what could happen if you are in this community and everything is happening and you feel that God is speaking to you directly? What happened in the Old Testament was like the cloud at some point, God wanted to move on. And God and Moses was in this conversation, and Moses said, God, we don't want to move if your glory cloud is not coming with. They actually had the cloud of the pillar of fire with them still. That almost indicated where they should be. And when they moved, then it would be there where the tabernacle is. So in this sense, there's this picture of God showing them physically where His presence is at. Now, it's not that the same anymore today. He doesn't do that anymore. But something similar could happen, that there's the space in which you really engage with God, but now it's almost as if it's gone. And you're alone in front of the mountain. It's the same, exact same mountain where everything was happening. Your life was getting changed. The church's life was changed, but that God's manifest presence is not there anymore. Now, God's general presence is still there. I mean, God is everywhere. God is omnipresent, which means He's here and there and everywhere at the same time. But there's something special about the manifest presence of God. I mean, atheists are walking around within the presence of God every day, but they're not necessarily getting changed. But if we engage with God, we open up. There's a saying, there's a scripture in James chapter 4. Draw near to me, and I will draw near to you, says God. If that atheist would start to draw near to God, probably by the working of the Spirit inside of him, God would draw near to him. And this thing of getting to the mountain is many times a way of saying, God, I'm doing effort from my side to get to you. Okay. But it could be that it's, that you just missed the memo. You were maybe too caught up in church activities and programs that you didn't notice that God's not in it anymore. You could have been so caught up in your own stale practices that you missed it when God was actually saying, I'm doing something else in this time. Because many times God does that. There are seasons in churches and there are seasons in your life. And it could be that because you're not really connected to God, you're more connected to the happenings that you miss it when God moves. Because you're still connected to the happenings and not to God. It could be. Could be that you find yourself there all alone. And on the next one, it's not that clear, but the guy's sitting down now. It's like, okay, I'll just wait it out here in front of the mountain. Maybe something happens again. But he's not actively looking for God. And let's look at the next four. We can just skip through the next four. It's going to be like a cool little animation. Next one. Next one. Next one. Last one. There we go. He's going around the mountain. See what I did there? Yeah, there you go. So this guy is going around the big rock and he's looking for God. Or it could be that that big rock is his main issue. He had come to God because of this issue, this mountain, and he's not properly dealt with it. And now he's going around it the whole time. And maybe he knows God working on something else, elsewhere. But I'm not willing to go there because I'm not willing to leave this issue. I'm not willing to leave this mountain. It's good for me to be stuck in my own troubles now. I like it here. But God's not there. And you're just staying there around the mountain. Around and around the mountain the whole time. Or it could be that the church is walking around the same mountain the whole time. Walking around the same programs, the same things. But have we really been listening to what God has been saying to us and in us? And then the next one, at some point, he stops. And this is the key point. He stops and thinks. Actually wanted to put a little question mark, an exclamation mark and a question mark above his head there. He just starts to question where, am I on the right track now? Almost that moment of intervening, it's an intervention into your own life. Just trying to figure out where am I now and what's going on. And as you can see there off to the right, there's a river flowing there. The river's been there the whole time. He had never noticed it. He's just been walking around the mountain. Let's go to the next one. So he think he'd go there and see what's happening there. And that's a big step for people many times, to get away from the normal, to get away from that which you are used to, that which is comfortable, and you get away from there. There's maybe some hope there by the water. Could go to the next one. And what does he find there when he is there is the following, Neil. There's some other people there. And what I saw while I was praying about the church was this. That it could be that we've been moving around the same mountain in this congregation in the past while. And what I saw in the vision while I was praying was this moving around the mountain and then leaving. And leaving towards a place where bread is broken. And that's why you see in their hands these little rolls. Bread is broken. Can you see? There's little yellow rolls there. We'll give glasses to the guys who are struggling now. We can go one back, sorry. So the graphics didn't come out so well now. But I'll just share what's happening there. I saw this vision that we get away from the mountain and we get bread from God. Which is most probably scripture. That gets broken and we eat it. And we just get close to God. Even though we're not at the mountain, we're with God. We're engaging with God. We're engaging with the people of God. It's community there. And in the next one, the one after this, you can actually see the river coming down and people starting to worship and actually just awakening to God like those daisies, awakening to God as they get busy with God's word, get busy with scripture, personally and collectively. We can go to the next one. There's the flower. Just say the purple there in the image links up with the flower. God is actually starting to revive. Next one. And as people are engaging, you have a community blossoming together. A community sharing the word of God with one another, not just on a Sunday, on Wednesdays, every day of the week, sporadically, as God leads. But the thing is, scripture is getting into your heart. And how does God transform our lives? Through the impartation of his word, his life-giving word. Next one. And it could be that you either move to a new mountain and go worship God there corporately with other people. Or it could even be the exact same mountain. But what is different there? People are worshiping from a place of receiving from God, digesting that, and worshiping God. And a possibility that could happen is the next one, in which there's a dynamic interaction between God and his people. Not built around programs, not built around structures, built around authentic worship and connection between God and man. And it's dynamic. And it's beautiful and it's colorful. And you can't see it in the physical. But if you're there and your eyes are open, you'll see it in the spiritual. You'll see it happening. You'll feel it happening. And that is an act of God. So we can't make God do stuff for us. We can't force his hand. God decides when he moves. But if we are faithful in authentically connecting with him, authentically sharing our lives with him, there's a very high probability that he would speak with you. There's a time that in the Bible that I think was the worst time that could have been there. 400 years of silence between the Old Testament and the New Testament. It is said that in 400 years, not one prophet got a single word from the Lord for God's people. I think that's a desperate space where there's no connection with God. But everything obviously radically changed when Jesus came into the picture. John the Baptist started prophesying. And God was busy with his people again, and we have this glorious future after that. But I'd like to ask you, in this story, where do you find yourself? Where do you relate with the picture that was up on the screen? And it could be any one of them. where do you find yourself there? And this is not a condemnation or a guilt trip. It's an honest question. It could be that you're actually busy worshiping God at the mountain and you're engaging with Him. It's good. But you could be the guy sitting in front of the mountain 4 months now. To just an honest, open evaluation of yourself. Where are you now? And then with that, if you look into the church, if you look into your family, look into your city, are there resemblances that you see there? I would like you to start with yourself. So while you think about that, I'm going to ask Yanni to sing a song that she has felt God lay on her heart recently. And actually, last night, she got some new inspiration, actually, while we were just speaking about the sermon. So she's just going to get ready for that. And then as she's ministering, I would like you to ask yourself the question. You can put up the next slide, Neil. In your life, what do you think needs to change, if change is necessary? In your family's life, in your church family's life, and in your city. And I don't want you to think about all four. Then you're going to get caught up in a superficial thought about that. Just pick two. And preferably one of those two should be yourself. Just because it's good to start with yourself. But look at that and think, why am I and my community, my family, or my city busy with? Where are we at? Are we walking around the mountain? Have we headed off to the stream? Are we actually away from the mountain, but we're actually engaging with God and through His word and prayer and worship? Are we on our way back to the mountain? Or are we at the mountain, we're actually engaging with God?